state senator from the DeWitt area, and he's on the other end of our line. How are you?
Doing very, very well. Good morning.
Thanks to you for being here. This SEIU thing is very challenging. You showed me a paycheck stub where that tax was deducted from your brother who's on disability, and boy, that must irk you.
Well, it's $5.32 deducted from each paycheck, which is sent on a monthly basis. That goes to SEIU, and what we're trying to do is put together how the union was actually formed legally, and then who is the union member and who is the employer. If you go to the website of the MCQ3, they say the actual provider is the union, and then the customer is the actual union employee. So it's very difficult to figure it all out. In fact, to be honest with you, I don't think anybody really has yet from a legal perspective.
And it's interesting, if I can clearly lay this out, these people are 1099.
Well, they're now W-2s.
Yeah.
But they were 1099s at one point, but yet when they were switched, nobody filled out an application form. Nobody was informed that they were going to go from a 1099 to a W-2. It just automatically happened.
And in a bill to maybe do something about this, it passed the House, and the Senate may be taking this up soon.
The Senate committee has taken it up. They have passed it out. It's on the Senate floor, as we discussed on Friday, Tony. And we're really hoping in the next, you know, sometime between now and May, that the Senate will actually have it on the Senate floor for a vote.
And what will that bill do?
What it'll do is it will prevent somebody from naming somebody as a public employee and then automatically unionizing them. And it will do away with the union part of this whole setup. It does not do away with the MQC3, which is a quality care council, helping to provide some training for people who help people with disabilities.
Now, you and some other state representatives and staff are going to try and meet with the head of this organization.
MCQ3, Susan, and I can't remember. It's on my schedule. It's either this week or next week.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about transportation, because that's a baby of yours. I know you work a lot with that, and you said something to me after you went off the air, which made me crazy, because I would have loved to have talked to you on it. That's why we got you back in here. But there is a possibility that there will be a new way for trains to get from Michigan over to Canada, which would help our farmers get their goods over there.
We had somebody from the Continental Rail Tunnel, and currently under the Detroit River between Detroit and Windsor, there is a train tunnel. It is too small to handle the largest train cars that exist today. So there are plans, and they are looking forward to. They own all of the property. If they need an easement, they already have all signed easements for the construction of a large train tunnel that would go under the Detroit River. Their plan then is to go back and convert the current train tunnel into a truck tunnel. So you would then have a twin span to cross from in Port Huron, and that's a part of this crossing. You have the Ambassador Bridge. You have the rail tunnel itself. Then you have the new rail tunnel. That's about an $800 million construction cost, probably 24 months or less of construction time. You have the Detroit River Truck Ferry, which a lot of people forget about. And then you also have the car tunnel that goes from Detroit to Windsor.
Is the current rail tunnel used much?
It is used. It doesn't handle a lot of the traffic, and that's because right now, currently, it is cumbersome. They have to unload some of the rail cars because it is too small. It was constructed roughly in 1905, and that date is from memory, but way, way back.
And this will be from Port Huron over to Canada?
No. The new rail tunnel will go from Detroit to Windsor.
Okay.
It'll go under the river, and it'll be much larger, which will allow them then to handle much more freight, and then they want to convert the current rail tunnel into a truck tunnel.
Okay, and where is that located?
That'll also be between Detroit and Windsor.
Now, whereabouts are those in relation to where the Ambassador Bridge is?
Actually, it's very close to what was the old Detroit Police Headquarter building, near the rail line right there, because it was at one time connected to that rail line that goes, I said Detroit Police Headquarters building, the Detroit Train Depot, which at one time was going to be considered to be the Detroit Police Headquarters building.
And then the truck tunnel would be kind of cool for the trucks coming in and out. They wouldn't have to deal with
crossing.
Car traffic,
It would be a second crossing, just like the Ambassador Bridge, and it would compete then with the publicly owned bridge that the governor has proposed. What's interesting in talking to the director of the passenger car tunnel and the rail tunnel both have substantial shortfalls in crossings compared to 10 years ago. The passenger car tunnel is down 50%. The rail tunnel is down about 40%, and both anticipate an increase of roughly 1% to 3% a year for the next 5 years.
So who pays for this?
Actually, the construction of the new rail tunnel will be privately funded. They're also looking for a Tiger Grant, which would be stimulus money from Washington, to pick up some of the cost. And then I think they'll sell bonds and actually fund that and run it as it currently is run.
All right. So after they presented from you, what do they need to proceed?
Well, what they're looking for is funding. They would like to get a Tiger Grant again from Washington, and they're looking for some funding from Quebec, and then they'll get underway.
So they don't need any Michigan money?
They have not asked us for any money. Of course, if we offered them some money, I'm sure they would take it, but they have not come and asked us for any money at all.
But you've heard this before. We're going to build something that's not going to cost us anything.
We seem to hear that with everything. In this case, there is a rail tunnel currently operating. It does have a revenue stream. They have a proven track record, and they also have a very good analysis of what the crossings will be, or excuse me, crossings, what the tunnel traffic will be.
All right, we've talked to farmers on this program before, and they've told me that they believe that the rail system here in the state of Michigan needs an upgrade. You were just telling me how a lot of money was put into the rail system along, I believe, the I-94 corridor.
The I-94 corridor from Dearborn to the Michigan border has just been invested with $200 million from Washington, and the goal behind that is to increase the reliability of the Amtrak so it can travel up to 90 miles an hour and in speed traffic along that route, but also that helps with the commercial use of the same track.
All right, and so how soon could we see construction?
Actually, they don't have a starting date yet for the new rail tunnel, but we're going to stay in touch with them and see what kind of success they have. They have applied again, like I mentioned, for some money from Washington.
Within a year? 2 years?
Let's hope so.
All right. Also wanted to talk to you about the rail system north of Lansing. You think that needs some work. Where do you go from here with that?
And a part of the problem, it does need some work. Much of it is now state-owned. There isn't enough commercial traffic to make it profitable or viable, so the state has assumed ownership, and Michigan Department of Transportation works and runs that system. That's something where we still need, if we want to grab agricultural products from the northern part of the state down, we need to do some work on.
Well, as you're working with roads and infrastructure, it's got to be good news to you that the governor knows that we need some upgrades.
Absolutely. And we have his very direct support. He's very aggressive with that support. We did not have that with the previous administration.
So where else may we see roads upgraded and bridges?
Well, I think you're going to be looking at one, rapid transit, and how do we put together a better transit system within the state of Michigan, and then also with the governor's funding formula, looking at increasing money for roads in general.
All right. And what are you going to be working on this week?
Boy, you know, I haven't even seen the agenda yet. I'm going to have to look at that. You caught me earlier.
Do you have any new legislation that you're working on that you can give us a hint about yet?
You know, I can't right now, and I've been focusing on transportation and MCQ3, but we'll get something for you.
And, you know, that transportation thing is interesting because you got the local people who deal with their local roads and the county, so where the statewide comes in, we're focused on, of course, those interstate roads, right?
And a lot of people ask, why is this road being worked on and not this road? And we do have federally operated roads that receive the 80-20 match run by MDOT. We then have county-owned, county-maintained roads, and then you also have local roads that are maintained and run by a local unit of government, all of which receive different funding. And usually the local roads of the local communities get the least amount of funding.
People are worried about our bridges, too. Are we starting to catch up with getting those inspected
and
fixed?
That's a priority for the governor. That's on his dashboard, and that's been a priority now for MDOT for the past 2 years, and you're going to see more and more bridge work being done because it really does become a bottleneck.
All right. We've been talking with Paul Opsomer from the DeWitt area. Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I can't wait to talk to you after that meeting you have. Should be interesting.
Have a great day, sir.